What's up, everybody? This is Marshall Couture, also known as Complex in hip-hop circles and in comic book circles a little bit, too. So, yeah. How you guys doing? I'm doing all right. It's been a little while since I've been, just like a week or something, but I kind of skipped a week there. Been kind of either busy or just had some things, personal stuff that went on that I had to take care of, and then had that hurricane just a few days ago in our area that kind of really wiped out New Jersey and New York a lot, and my heart goes out to them. You know, I'm praying for those guys and gals and all those people over there. Especially the biggest thing that kind of really got to me was, I guess in Queens there was like 80 homes that burned down, and it's like, this is during the hurricane, and so it's like, you know, their house is burning down and they have to go outside in a hurricane. So it's like, wow. And flooding. So that must have been crazy. So yeah, like I said, my prayers are going out to them, and it's gonna be a while for them to get, for all those people in New Jersey and New York to get back on their feet, get some power and all that. So that's that. And if any of you are listening, you know, just know, you know, I'm thinking about you.
Let's see, what else? Let's talk about some updates. Like I said, a lot of things have kind of been put on hold because of different situations. Watched a lot of Netflix with the wife. We finished up Doctor Who, the newer Doctor Who's. Went through all, I think, five or something seasons or something like that were on there. Really awesome show. So happy to finally get a chance to find out about Doctor Who and geek out on it. And I'm looking forward to checking out the older ones with. Everybody keeps talking about Tom Baker as their favorite doctor and all that. So I'm looking forward to checking that out. let's see. I haven't posted my con wrap-up yet. But if you're listening to this, you have heard it by now. And let's see. I also did a podcast about, not sure what I posted. I have to go back and look, but I kind of missed a few episodes here and there, and, I'm going to try to finish posting that stuff up this week. I did a logo for The Way Recordings. This guy, hired me to put together a like graffiti tag logo for his record label, and I was happy to do that. That was really fun to break out some graffiti pens and all that, and mess around with that. And I think in the process of that, I actually created a Plex logo as well, or it might be for the website, I'm not sure, plexhop.com. We'll see, but you know, obviously that whole idea of like graffiti and mixing the hip hop and the comic books and stuff goes right along with my stuff as well. So, but I posted the image up to people because he started posting the image up and everything. So, it was cool, and it seems like everybody is digging it. If you haven't seen it, I'll put in the show notes and stuff. Still working on a couple more things that I want to get done. Oh, I posted the Pandia thing up, which I actually put in the last show notes, so if you want to check out the Pandia pinup art commission I did for Paul Kijiji at processdiary.com, check that out. Like I said, plexhop.com, my escape artist feed, should be the next one down, the last one I posted. Or, no, it's two down, actually, I think, because the last I posted that bonus podcast with Ryan Wheaton right after that, so. So, yeah. Yeah, I had a cold, too, so if you hear me sniffle a little bit, that's what's up with that. I'm pretty much over it. It was a kind of in and out cold, wasn't too bad, but had a couple days there that was like ooey and gooey and not so fun, but I'm pretty much over it now. Yeah, just a lot of stuff, a lot of little things, nothing like too major going on. Like I said, I want to finish up this one illustration I got to do for someone. I want to finish that up hopefully this weekend, and I want to launch my Kickstarter. That'd be nice if I could get that done this weekend too. We shall see. Because I want to get that up and going. I'd like to get it, so it comes up and goes away by Christmas, because I don't want to, I don't know, Christmas probably, I'm assuming the December Christmas time is probably not the best time to do a Kickstarter, I don't know, so yeah, maybe this isn't a good time either, because people will be saving up for their Christmas presents, I don't know. We don't really do Christmas presents anymore, me and my wife. We might do, like, a little something or whatever, but, it will be super small. And, sometimes, we'll get our parents something, or, like, our nephew, but we don't really do, we stopped doing Christmas presents, for our family, like, our whole family kind of stopped doing Christmas presents a while ago, or last year, I think, but, because everybody's money is tight and stuff, so, we do it for the kids, and, that's fun. But, yeah, other than that, there's not too many crazy updates. I think we shall get to the topic. Oh, I do want to shout out Peter Palmiotti, and I should know his website name, but I don't, but he's all over the internet. A lot of you guys probably are friends with him. I'll put a link in the show notes, but he's been kind of reposting my stuff a lot, and I just really appreciate that. Peter, if you're listening, thank you. And he also approached me over the weekend, he asked if we could get on a Google Hangout or something and just talk a little bit. And so I was like, oh yeah, at that I actually had some time when he asked, so I was like, yeah, we could do it right now if you want. And that was actually, I was working on the logo as well, to get that finished for the client at the same time. And we had a talk, we talked for about an hour or so. And it was really cool to link up with him over Google Hangouts. I love Google Hangouts. Hope to have time to use it more. I'd be doing it, multiple times a week if I had the chance. But unfortunately, it's just I don't always have the time to be in front of my computer like that. And but it was really good to talk to him. I think we're going to do some trade-off podcasting together and stuff. Because he has a podcast, Independent Road is his podcast, so go check that out. I'll put the link in the show notes. Check his art out. He's been doing some sales on his Store Envy store for like original art that he has. So go check that out. I definitely want to grab a piece at some point He's got a cool style. He's mostly been an inker, you know, like he's worked for Marvel and DC and Valiant and stuff like that. And you know, he wants to pretty much go independent now though. Like that's his focus. So he's got some projects he's working on, and like I said, he has a really cool style. Like really sharp edges, like his lines have like a lot of sharp edges, like especially in like his cross hatching stuff, and it's really cool, different style, and I dig it, and I'm looking forward to hopefully buying a piece of his art at some point when I have some extra money, which never happens, but we'll see. I tend to buy things that I can't afford often, so we'll see how that goes. But anyways, go check his stuff out, Peter Palmiotti. Google the name. I'm sure his sites and stuff will come up. And yeah. So there's that. And what I wanted to talk about today was I wanted to continue on our discussion on the sales process, especially relating to comic books and any kind of art, really. But, you know, we're kind of using comic books as an example. Once again, talking about the sales pitch and stuff and all that fun stuff. Ryan Wheaton has, I think, completed his newest comic book, which is called, I can't remember exactly what it's called. I think it's like Grave Bandits, or I don't remember, but it has to do with something with bandits, and it looks really cool, like a cool mini comic that I can't wait to read, and he just posted it up today, letting people know, you know, if you want to pre-order the comic, $3, send $3 to his PayPal, and I'll put the link up to his PayPal email. And if you want, you know, a sketch to go with it, send him $5, and he'll send you the comic when it's finished, and a little sketch. So that's pretty cool. And I say support the dude. He's super prolific. He's probably the first one of our comics projects bunch who did the challenge, and now has a whole nother comic out already. He's probably the first one to get that second one out already, so that's really cool. And I just love his style and stuff, so go check him out and order one of his comic books, yo. So yeah, but that's, you know, another example of, you know, he gets a lot of, you know, kind of sales and stuff just by putting his email. He just says, you know, go PayPal some money over to me through my email, and because that's all you really need to do. You can go to paypal.com, sign in, put in the email, and send people money. Simple as that. And no big website, cute little designs and stuff like I do. Just simple as that, and he gets sales, you know. Pretty fun, pretty awesome. Love seeing him succeed with that stuff. So yeah, sales. We gotta be sellouts with our art. No, not really. But do what you love, make something awesome, put it out there, sell it. Like I said, the sales process, just to review, is the four steps that people commonly talk about is, well, number one is finding your audience, and number two would be building rapport, building trust. Number three, which is the one we're going to talk about today, is information, education. Basically, this is where your sales pitch comes in. You know, telling people what the product is. And number four, would be the close, letting people know how they can buy your comic in the example we're using, or whatever product it is. So yeah, that's what's going on. Number three is what we're going to talk about today. And this is where people, you know, they talk about the elevator pitch and stuff like that. There's that. But basically letting people know what your thing is about, what your description is under the picture when you have a sales page up. Okay, you got a picture of your comic or whatever, then a little description of what the comic's about, maybe some of the specs, how many pages it is, if it's color or black and white. That kind of information should always be there, but that's secondary. You don't want to start off with that. You want to put a picture, obviously, to catch people's eye. And then in the description, you want to put some kind of story synopsis. Usually this is where your pitch is going to come in. And it's got to have a hook. Tyler James talks about the smile test. It's got to, you know, it's good to have like that elevator pitch that's like one or maybe two sentences long, very short, and it causes somebody to smile. His example for like Oxymoron, his comic Oxymoron, which you should check out, and you can actually get order in comic stores as well, because it's being distributed through Diamond now. I think the first issue is out, and if I'm not mistaken, the second issue might be out too. So go check that out through your local comic shop. Or you can also go to his site, which I think the main site he might sell it through is comicstribe.com. So go check that out. Comics with an X, tribe.com. And the pitch he talks about as an example is, you know, for Oxymoron, it's basically, and I'm probably not getting it exactly right, but basically it's how he would kill off the Justice League if, you know, DC gave him the job to write that story. And so basically he has like some heroes in his comic, and they're kind of generic, you know, archetype type of heroes that, you know, kind of resemble maybe some popular heroes, and you know, I don't know, it's probably not to a huge amount, but like I said, I actually have the first issue, I haven't read it yet. I have a stack of comics I need to read, and that's in the stack. But then he has his character, and I think the character is called Oxymoron? I'm not sure. Like I said, I gotta read it. But he's basically one by one in each issue, I think, killing off one of the characters. And I think that passes the smile test. That's something that's kind of hooky and would get your attention, you know. Especially if you're already a comic book fan, and you maybe read Justice League, or you have read it at one point, you know, it's gonna catch your attention. So that's like the pitch. You want it to pass the smile test. Something that, you know, people are familiar with. If it's something that's clever but it's an obscure reference, people won't, you know, you're not going to get a lot of people into it because people just won't know what you're talking about. So, you know, keep it in somehow a way that people would recognize. So there's that. And the other thing is, when you have a product and you want to sell it, like I said, the information, the specs type of stuff, that is something that is interesting, but it isn't and it is necessary, but, you know, that's not what people are going to be sold on. That's not what's going to get people to really get into your stuff. What you want to do is focus on the benefits. And this is kind of tough for, like, comics, you know. Usually that is more towards something when you're selling something that you need or a service or something. But with comics, it's entertainment, so it's a little different. What would be the benefits? You know, you can't really, well, you can't be like, well, you know, the benefit of this comic is you can use it to fan yourself off when you get hot. You know, like, what are you going to say for benefits? It's something, it's entertainment. You could maybe go into, like, this is a way to relieve your stress after you've had a hard day at work, you know, but, like, that's kind of silly, you know. Every form of entertainment can be that, I guess, you know. But for comics, what would be the benefits would be, and they have to be kind of like, you have to hit on felt needs, you know. A lot of times it's more important to focus on emotions than the information that, and sometimes, depending on the product, a good mix will help, because telling the information actually builds trust, which also is, you know, building the emotional part of it, and that's part of the hook as well. But so you want to mix it in, but you want to focus a little more on you know, like I said, the benefits. For us, it would be the wow factor, and that's another thing that people talk about. There's a few different elements to the wow factor, which I know it sounds corny, but basically you want to impress people. One of the ways, and I think I've talked about this too, is like with extra stuff or free stuff, you know, like over-serving, over-delivering on things, that can be a wow factor. So say somebody orders your comic, and this is kind of after the fact, but you want to sell them on buying more of your stuff. So, you know, somebody orders your comic, you send them a comic and an art card or something, you know, sketch card, or you send them like something extra that they would actually want, you know. And they're like, wow, you know, it'll cause even that reaction. Wow, you know, this person, you know, like when I order from this person, I'm getting even more than I even paid for. And that's really awesome. So there's that way of creating the wow factor. And you could even build that into your offer. You can be like, okay, you know, for the price, you're going to, like, I kind of do it with my Glyph comic, you know, two comics for the price of one, $5. So that's kind of, and you get two comics or whatever. So that's kind of one way you can sell it, you know, before you actually, you know, to get people to buy initially. But, like I said, this process isn't cut and dry. It's not a 1, 2, 3, 4 step process where you do everything consecutively in that order always. You know, there's different aspects to it that come in at different points, and you go back and forth. But so, like, the other way you can create a wow factor now with entertainment, and especially as artists, a lot of us are artists or even writers, you know, we have kind of an advantage over, you know, maybe your cold hard marketers selling vacuum cleaners or something. You know, we can create a wow factor by creating awesome art. And when I say art, I mean the writing as well, and just the visual and audio aspects of, depending on what you're making. Like if you make a movie, you know, make the music like super awesome or super catchy or something, you know. Or just create a really cool mood with the music and the visuals, or, you know, that's what you see it a lot in previews, you know. You can really create a wow factor, you know, with that stuff. And for comics, you know, it's a little different, but people do like previews, trailers for their comics on YouTube and stuff, and that's something I haven't done yet, but I would really like to do. So you can do that too, and you can get the audio part, and you know, really get all the different senses involved. You want to appeal to people's senses as much as you can, because that obviously builds a stronger emotional response. And that's what you want. Emotion is what drives things. You know, you want to create word of mouth, and the only way you can do that is by making something that people want to talk about. Sometimes the best way to do it, and I'm thinking more and more about this, is putting stuff out for free. You know, put a lot of stuff out for free. I mean, don't just go willy-nilly and put out junk for free that people don't really even want anyways. And don't just put all your stuff out for free so that there's no way that somebody could pay you for anything. And, you know, that's not a business. A business is, you know, something, an effort put forward that creates a product or service that people actually pay for. You know, money has to be exchanged for it to actually be a business. I mean, I suppose there could be a business that is just focused on trades, because that's the essence of money anyways, but, you know, pretty much, obviously, you know, money has to be exchanged for a business, and profits have to be made, if you want to call it a business. So, that's kind of, you know, how you do it. You got to create that wow factor. And, you know, I go to these conventions and stuff, and I love them. You know, they're so awesome. There's a huge range of different kind of comics and genres and, I don't know, production value, artistic differences, subject matter. I mean, it's amazing. It's all, like, super inspiring. And, you know, I just love it. But, you know, one thing is, you know, first thing you do, you go up to a table, maybe something catches your eye. So that gets you to the table. You go there and somebody's being kind of rude or something, and you pretty much leave quickly. But, you know, the person says hi or something. Cool, you know, they're being cool. Pick up their book, maybe ask them a couple questions, but you probably pick up their book and flip through it. That's what I do, you know. First thing you're going to see is the art. You know, you're going to see the cover art. You're going to see the production value. Is it made cheaply with, like, Xerox paper and just stapled together? If it is, that's cool. There's a certain appeal to that as well, and I do like those as well. But first thing you're going to really notice is the art. You know, that's going to hit you. And if you're a writer, it would certainly behoove you to find a really awesome artist that really is amazing. And if you're an artist and you're just being lazy and your art doesn't really pop out, then, you know, you're going to be at a disadvantage. Not only that, but just the way you create your comic. If it's just a bunch of talking heads, you know, that might appeal to some audiences, like the zine crowd and stuff like that, maybe. But personally, for me, I like action-type comics. So that's not going to appeal to me. There's different ways to appeal to people. You could appeal to people just with mood. You know, it could be talking heads, but you can make talking heads stand out, either with creative, dynamic paneling choices, or close-ups, or maybe you don't want to do that at all, but if it's a color comic, or even if it's not, you can set a mood by putting in your darks, you know, a lot of dark, blacked out areas or something, depending on what you're looking, you know, if it's like a noir comic or something, or whatever. Or with color, you can create mood. There's a lot of ways you can make your stuff pop out. Also, just creative, production value things, like how you fold your comic, what size and shape it is. Maybe it's, you know, a comic that folds out in a creative way, or maybe the mid panel folds out so it's like bigger than the whole comic or something, and then you can fold it back in and continue the story. You know, I've seen a lot of different creative things. People have cutout things. You know, all that stuff is things that can really wow somebody. And even maybe make your price point, you know, move your price point up a little bit. because they see they're getting something kind of extra or different or interesting, you know. So, creating that wow factor is huge. So, like I said, you want to, and, you know, I know a lot, somebody's going to probably say, you know, well, that's being manipulative. Well, yeah, it is. Everything's being manipulative. I mean, and to me, it's what's behind it, really, that matters. If you want to sell something, you have to appeal to people. You have to be persuasive. You know, you have to have those things. And, you know, there is sort of a manipulation, but what really is the difference is, are you authentic? You know, are you manipulating to sell a crap product, you know, to people and take advantage of people, or are you, you know, creating something persuasive and appealing because it's awesome and people do benefit by reading your comic or whatever it is, you know? When I walk away from a movie, like, there are times that I walk away from a movie and I feel like something has been added to me as an artist, or just as a, you know, maybe I've learned something, maybe, you know, it's made me think differently about something, or maybe it confirms a lot of things I already think, or maybe it was just something that moved me, you know, emotionally, you know. Or it was just awesome, you know. I mean, you want to come away, like, as a fan of things, you know, you want to come away feeling moved or, you know, to put it more crassly, manipulated almost, you know. Manipulation is a bad word, but there's probably other words that, you know, make more sense, that, like I said, moving people, that's kind of more the realm, and as long as, like I said, it's authentic, and you're not taking advantage of people, I think there's nothing wrong with that, you know. A lot of times, people aren't sure they want to, like, give away free stuff, or, like, do some of these marketing tactics, because people are going to come for those free things or whatever, and not necessarily for the content they really want people to get into. But the thing is people who think that way, you know, your stuff is going to remain in obscurity for your whole life if you always think that way. You know, sometimes you gotta, you know, put the carrot out there so that you can get, you know, the donkey to bring you where you want him to go. And then once they get to the place that you want them to go, you know, they will probably realize that, wow, you know, I'm glad that I was persuaded that way, because now I get to take part in this awesome content that I would have never even noticed if it wasn't for those persuasive, you know, tactics. I love it when I find out about new things, you know, that I wouldn't have liked before, you know. Like, say, you know, Doctor Who. You know, I was kind of, I thought it was stupid. You know, how many things have you thought were stupid at one point, and then finally actually looked at or read or watched and was like, maybe it's not so stupid. Now I see why people like it, you know. A lot of times, us as humans, we're very close-minded to things we don't understand, you know, at first. And I know some people might claim not to be close-minded, but everybody is close to something, you know, until they're open to it. I was close-minded to vegetables until I started finding out ways to eat them that really tasted good. Now I love vegetables in a lot of different ways. There's still things I'm close-minded to, though. I'm still close-minded to mushrooms and onions. I don't like those. But, yeah. So, hopefully I've proved my point with that. You know, the metaphors might be kind of shaky, but I think you get my point. It's not horrible to be manipulated, you know, if it's for something that's actually cool, you know? So, that is kind of what the third process is all about, you know, is this is where you inform people, this is where you let people know about your thing. Like I said, the first two are more important. Like, they are what you want to focus on primarily. You know, you want to make sure you're talking to the right people and find that audience and introduce yourself to the audience that is appropriate for your content and create content that is appropriate for a certain audience. You know, obviously you want to stick with something that you are passionate about, but you know, you can mold your stuff to a certain degree for a certain audience. And you might be in that audience. And if that's the case, I think you're on the right track. So that's the first one. The second one, as we've talked about, is creating trust, creating rapport, getting involved in the community, things like that. You know, that's probably the biggest number one, really, one that you need to do. And then when it comes to the point where the pitch comes, you've almost probably already sold them, you know, if you've done those other two right, you know. There's times, like, in fact, I just, for $5, I purchased an EP, an album, recently. And the music is something that I don't really love. Like, this person raps and sings. Like, he does, like, he'll do a singing album and then he'll do like a rap album, and he's really awesome at the hip-hop, and he's really good at the singing too. He's actually kind of built a career on the singing, and then he's just started really introducing his, you know, hip-hop oriented skills. But I really love his hip-hop stuff. Like, he's really awesome at that. And it's not that I don't like the singing stuff, it's just not so much my style. And I love a lot of, you know, singing music, but just the particular kind he does, it's, if it wasn't for the fact that I loved his hip-hop stuff, I wouldn't probably dig it. But recently he put out one of his more singy albums, and, you know, he's put a ton of music out there for free, and, you know, he decided to make this one a, you know, only, you can only get it if you pay for it. Now, I knew it was one of these singing albums, and but I've enjoyed his other music, and because he's an awesome guy, and I've actually had a little bit of conversation with him individually through email and stuff, and I know that he's an awesome guy, and because he's given away a lot of free music that I've enjoyed thoroughly, you know, I sent him $5 and downloaded the album, and I listened to the album. You know, I'll be enjoying it. You know, I can appreciate it for what it is, but it's certainly not something I would put money down on just out of the blue otherwise, if it wasn't for the fact that I wanted to support him because he is just an all-around awesome person and I love his other music. So, like I said, all that stuff that comes before actually giving the pitch and trying to make the sale is way more important, you know, and I'm sure he'll get a lot more sales as well, you know. A lot of people know about him now because he's put all this stuff out for free. So, but, you know, in his email, he even said, you know, if you would please just make sure you read this whole email, and he was very authentic with it, and he went into the album talking about, you know, a little bit of his process and why he made the album, and, you know, honestly, all that stuff also pulled me right in. You know, he told a story, you know, he said how it came about, and what the album is about and what it means to him. He wrote it kind of as a story, and that's another thing, that's a big part of this part of selling, is tell a story. You know, this is where your description comes in. You want there to be kind of a and what's the essence of story? It's a change happening. You go from point A, where you're thinking one way about something, and you bring a character to point B, where there was a change and an impact has been made on this person's life, and you know, other people's lives have been changed, all kinds of things. But change, going from one place to another, is the essence of story. Put that somehow, even in a simple way, even if it can even be in a paragraph or a sentence, a story can be conveyed. Even in just an image, a story can be conveyed. You know, just show that impact, that change in some way, shape, or form. And put it in an appealing way in your description. You know, a little one paragraph description on your website can go a long way, or on your eBay page can go a long way, or you know, Etsy, all these different online stores. You know, that description page, that's where this all comes in. So like I said, appealing to emotions, having a story, focusing on the benefits, creating a wow factor. Those are all elements that you want to think about when you're thinking about, you know, the third aspect of selling. So, yeah, that's about it. That's all I have to really say on the subject. That's, you know, I'm sure there's, like I said with all these, you know, I'm sure there's a lot more that can be said. There's been tons of books and things that have been written on the subject. I totally think you should educate yourself on those. That's how you can, if you're thinking, you know, oh, you know, how come, you know, I made this book and put it out there and nobody bought it, you know, what's wrong with me, why can't I do this stuff? Well, don't get down, don't get depressed, just realize there's some things you don't know yet about all this stuff, and educate yourself. Go check out podcasts on selling, or read a book, you know, find an audio book, look up some videos on YouTube. I mean, the information is out there. There's a lot of free information, and for low cost, there's a lot of cheap information, you know, like I said, buying books and stuff. You can also go to school for this stuff, business and all that, so there's that way too. I stick with more of the cheap stuff. I might hit up a workshop or something once in a while, too. That's another, you know, step between just reading a book and going to school for this kind of stuff. So, you know, educate yourself on all this stuff. And like I said, that's kind of what this step of sales is, too, is the education step. So, you know, don't forget to put that information in there, you know. Let people know what this book entails and all that. So, yeah, that's about it. That's all I really have to say on the subject for now. Opening up the discussion, if you guys have any other ideas on what you need to do to sell things. This is the third part of the series. Oh, yeah, like I said, go to the comment section and leave a comment. Let me know what you think. Like I said, this is the third part of the series. Next week should be the final fourth part of the series. It'll be the first time I'm completing and doing like a series of podcasts. And let me know what you think on how I did with that. You know, we'll go on from there. We'll see where we're going to go from there. Like I said, I'm probably going to launch this Kickstarter fairly soon. So keep a watch out for that. And really thank you for listening. All my stuff is at plexhop.com. And just click on podcasts and Escape Artist. And you can find the show notes and all that. And other than that, thank you for listening. You guys are super awesome. And I can't wait to talk to you next week as well. Talk to you later. Bye.